I'd like to go to Matthew. Not the first or second chapters, but chapter 9. You know, the great thing about God is that He's really awesome. And He loves you. He cares about you. I want to look at a couple of things this morning about the things that God does. The things that Jesus Christ did to show people God's will. All had to do with directing people's eyes to the goodness of God and the greatness of God and how awesome God really is. We look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. We'll read a record here and see the results of this record in people's eyes and in people's understanding. Because verse 1 it says, "And he entered into a ship, he passed over, came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy," he saw their faith because he saw the effort that they made. He saw their efforts. And so he saw these people believe. They have great faith. "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Thy sins be forgiven. You know, he knew that that could very well be part of the individual's problem, is that he was wallowing in his sin. He was condemning himself, wondering, well, you know, did I do this? Did I bring this upon myself? Or, you know, or what's going on here? Why haven't I been healed? Can I be healed? Well, the ones around him, the ones that brought him, knew that he could be healed because they knew the power and the authority that Jesus Christ walked with. That's why they brought him. They had faith. They didn't doubt. They had faith. They said, well, you know, we could try this. We could bring him over here and see if that does any good. No, they brought him there because they had faith. And Jesus Christ saw that. And he responded with getting down to a root, more, you know, more underlying situation in the man's heart, which was, hey, your sins have been forgiven. "And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves said," this guy's just crazy, he's a blasphemer. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, verse 4, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether what's easier to say, the sins be forgiven, or arise and walk? You know? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. He did arise. He did get up. He was sick. He had been sick. And in a split second, he was delivered. With just words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are your sins forgiven, but you're totally healed too. Get up and walk. And he arose and walked. And what was the result? What was the result? Well, I'm sure the man was just thrilled as he went back to his home. But it says in verse 8, look at this. When the multitudes saw it, they marveled. They marveled. You know, and that's more than just the name of a comic book series. You know, the word marvel means, it means to have, to stand in awe at something. To wonder in awe of something. That's to marvel. And when they saw this great miracle, they all stood in awe. It's an incredible miracle. And they glorified God who had given such power unto men. They gave God the glory. Look at our God, how great He is for giving this power and authority to this man to bring such great deliverance to His people. They marveled at this. And isn't it the same for us? When we consider the things that God has done, we stand in awe. If we have eyes to see, and it's not just not just words on a page. It's not just a story. Nobody stands in awe of a story. Nobody stands in awe of a myth or a fable. People stand in awe of the power of God manifested. You stand in awe when you really believe with your whole heart that you used to be dead and now God has made you alive. You stand in awe when you recognize that in this flesh you stand before God righteous, without any sense of sin, guilt, or shortcoming before Him. Is that not awesome? It is incredibly awesome when we really know it and believe it. Most people just come and they sit and they listen to the preacher and they listen to a nice sermon and they see some technology up reinforcing the point. You know, the awesome multimedia presentation of the sermon. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it exciting? Yes, and oh, that band. Weren't they awesome? And then they walk out and they go, yeah, well, I guess we got to go back to work tomorrow. They have stood in awe of none of the work of God. That's why it's so easy to forget. That's why it's so easy to pass off as, well, that was a great show. But when you and I see the power of God, when we see and believe that what we stand in is the grace of the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and He favors you, He loves you, He cares about you, He has given you the authority that His Son walked in. This is an awesome day to live. And this is not, you know, it's not anything that God does not desire for you. He wants you to stand in awe of Him. And He gives us reason after reason, day after day, miracle after miracle, sign after sign, wonder after wonder, to cause us to go, God, You're awesome. But then there's those days that we just ignore them, and then the next day we ignore it, and then the next day we ignore it, and then the next day, and before you know it, we've totally forgotten why we have stood in such great awe of our Heavenly Father. God constantly in the Old Testament encouraged His people to remember the things that He had done for them. Remember. Look at Ezekiel. No, Exodus. Exodus 34. Genesis, Exodus. Way back there. The exit. The grand exit. 34. This is, you know, after Moses led the people out of Egypt, God got him up on the mountain, gave him the Ten Commandments and the two tablets, right? And he came back down and he saw them all worshiping the idols and he got so angry with them that he took, you know, the two tablets with the Ten Commandments and crashed them on the ground. They broke them to pieces. And then Moses was like, uh-oh, what have I done? Maybe I want to rethink that deal. But God, being gracious, called him back up on the mountain and said, okay, we're going to do it again. And I'm going to give you a little bit more. I'm going to give you a little bit more, right? And then he tells me, he said, get you two more tablets, you know, hew you out a couple more tablets and come on back to the mountain. And we'll write it up again. And he gave him a little bit more. He gave him about, you know, keeping the Sabbath and the festivals, the feasts and stuff. But in verse 10, listen to what God says. And he said, verse 10, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. Before all thy people, I will do what? Marvels, it says in the old, in the King James. Marvels. You know, extraordinary things. This is God's promise. I am going to do extraordinary things for you. Not just a few things that you might want to scratch your head and wonder, was that God? I don't know if that was God or not. Gee. See, because when God works, when God does something, you know it's God. That's his promise. Before all thy people, I will do marvels, extraordinary things, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Terrible, meaning that's Old English for awesome. Wow, you're really terrible. That's going to be the next thing coming out of the kids probably, right? You know, like, man, you're really terrible. It's awesome. It means awesome. This is going to be an awesome thing. That I will do. Look at God's promise. This is what God's all about with his people. I'm going to do stuff in your life that is going to be extraordinary. Not just run of the mill. Not just, oh, anybody could do that. Oh, well, you know, I've done that before. I've gone from poverty to riches. I had nothing. I had $500 million in debt. And then I came up with this program. And if you apply my principles, you too can get out of debt and go from rags to riches. No, that's the stuff that anybody can do. Anybody can do that. And they tell you that too. Oh, don't think you can't do that. Anybody can do this. Right? They tell you that. It's the first thing they tell you almost. They tell you their story. But see, God's story is much bigger. God says, I am going to do marvelous things in your life. I am going to do awesome things in your life. Things that as nobody else can do. I'm going to do for you. And then people will stand in awe of me, of God. You know, we limit God too much. God wants us to remember what he has called us to. That he wants to be a God that is unlike the gods of the world. That speak nothing, that hear nothing, that do nothing. God wants everyone to know through the way he works in your life that he is God Almighty and that he is awesome and that he is the one to be marveled at. Look at Chronicles. First Chronicles. Chapter 16. This is a record surrounding the writing of a psalm, 1 Chronicles 16. This is really kind of a wonderful thing because, I mean, you can read it sometime. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles 16. You can read the record. It's, you know, how they brought the Ark of the Covenant back in and had some wonderful, wonderful times. And it says in verse 7, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph was David's contemporary, and he wrote a couple of the psalms, several of the psalms. So it kind of like we're, you know, Lennon and McCartney in a godly thing. You know, Asaph and David, you know. They collaborated in some psalms, some songs of praise toward God. That's what the book of Psalms is. They're songs of praise toward God. And so David wrote most of them, and Asaph wrote some of them. And anyway, David brings this psalm to Asaph and says, man, my heart's just filled with joy. Here's another one. And it's written, it's Psalm 105. You can compare it to that. It's there's some extra things in Psalm 105, so he may have gone back and, you know, gotten inspired again and added some more when it came right down to the final copy. God gave him some more information, said, hey, here's some more stuff to put in there. Anyway, it says, look at this. Give thanks, verse 8 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And what are those deeds? Those deeds are awesome. They're marvelous. They're awe-inspiring. They're extraordinary. Those things that God does. Right? And make these things known. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Speak of them. Speak of the things that God does. Remind each other of those. Remind yourself. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. You seek the Lord, then let your heart rejoice. Why? Because he's so awesome. Why is he awesome? Just because everybody says he's awesome? Just because there's a name of a song entitled Awesome is Our God? No, he's awesome because of the things that he does for you. And for anyone who believes him, who comes to him and looks to him and expects for him to do what he's promised to do. Things that no one else can do. And then he says, seek, verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Like Patty had shared, you know, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you, Father. I know I have my requests. I can joy and rejoice in these things. And I don't just seek, you know, someone to speak for you. I seek your face. I sit in front of you, Heavenly Father. You're the one who's promised to do awesome things in my life. Because I do give you the glory. And everyone around will give you the glory because I will speak of these things. I will make these things known. I will confess only of the things that you have done for me, the goodness that you have wrought in my life. I will speak only of those things because you're the one that brings them to pass. You're the one that desires to have the glory and deserves the glory. We give these things to God. You know, we seek him constantly. There's not a moment that goes by that we shouldn't be, okay, God, it's me and you. It is me and you. Then he says in verse 12, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Remember, and his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember those things. The greatest way to anticipate and expect and to see things that you need now is to remember the things that God has done for you. You have a need. You have a great need. And sometimes these things that crop up in our lives are so far beyond our own capability for whatever the reason. And yet, God encourages us, just remember the things that I have done for you. Is there anything too difficult for me? Is there anything too hard for God? No, absolutely not. We know the answer to that question. No, it's not. And is there anything that he's not willing to do? Well, Jesus Christ established his will plain, right out in the open, for anyone who had eyes to see and ears to hear. Great signs, miracles, and wonders. Great deliverance is available to anyone who believes. God will open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. If you will yet but honor him, that's all you need to do. Just honor him. Remember, whatever the need is, God's already figured out how to do it for you. So remember. Speak of the things that he has done. Remember these things. You know, it says somewhere, and I forget exactly where I was reading it, but it was exactly what Patty had mentioned before. You know, if we forget these things, then that's when our hearts get hard. And to have a hard heart is to have a heart that is constantly doubting God or ignoring God. Who wants to ignore God when they remember the great things he's done? I mean, I know there's probably each and every one of us in here has had God do something for you, right? Something miraculous that only He could have pulled off. And a lot of us have many, many, many of those things. Many things that God has done. So remember, recall, to bring those things to your remembrance, and your heart will never get hard. Your heart will never, it won't, you know, close up like a clam. You know? You ever see a clam? In the, you know, they're fun. Clams are fun. It's the name of this teaching. Clams are fun. No, it's not. Not either. Nowhere close. But you know, you see a clam and it might have a little, you know, it's starting to open up a little. And then you walk up to it and you tap it on the shell and it goes. Clams are fun. They're weird. And then you try and pry it open a little bit. It is open just a tad bit. You get it, you know, click it on the outside and it shuts. And that's what we don't want our hearts to do. We don't want that. You know, we want our hearts to be open, like clams. No. Not like clams, like the sunflower to the sun. Huh? I'm using that to make sure I get your attention here. Clam, what the heck is he talking about? He's talking about clams, for crying out loud. No, see, we are not clams. We're like flowers, open to the sun. That's our heart to God. You know? You know, we can't allow ourselves to get hard. And the way we avoid getting hardness of heart is to continue to remember God's goodness to us. You know, then we will not get hard. And we will constantly stay open to our Heavenly Father. And then we will see more and more. We'll see Him do more and more. Because that's His desire. His desire is for you to stand in awe of Him and His marvelous works. That's what God lives for. Figuratively. He exists to do such great things in your life that you will just have no other recourse but to marvel at them. I am just amazed at the goodness of my Heavenly Father. You know, and I know what, you know, religion has done to this simple concept. They've cloaked it, they've disguised it, they've all but eliminated it out of the hearts and lives of God's people. And yet God is saying, come here. I want to cause such great awe in your heart and life toward me. And He's willing to, and He's ready to. See? Jesus Christ marveled at two things. It says in the scripture, in the Gospels, that He marveled at two things. One was the unbelief of those people in His hometown. And the other was the faith in the heart of a man who wasn't even of Israel. We stand in awe of the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and really all we need to do is have faith in Him. You know, I know that Jesus Christ stood in awe of His Heavenly Father. There's no question about that. It's not written, but it's understood. It doesn't have to be written. See? But the things that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, marveled at was what happens within the heart of an individual. That's all. And that speaks loudly to me, because I want my Lord and Savior to marvel at my faith. I want to stand before Him and Him look at me and say, awesome. And we all want that. And you know, but in spite of that, in spite of the days that we live, and sometimes they're better than others, but in spite of it all, It says that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you his brother. Because of who God, his Father, has made you and me, he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed at us. He gave his life for us. And it also says that God's not ashamed to be called our God. You know, God, is that not awesome? That in and of itself is like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. The only perfect man that ever walked looks at me and says, man, you're my brother, I'm proud of you. You're my sister, I love you. I'm not ashamed of you, I love you. You know, we remember these things. We encourage one another with these things. And we will open the doors to great, marvelous works that God will do by your hands and for you. You know, it's great to anticipate. You know, we have such great, great things in store for us because our God is so wonderful. He's our Heavenly Father, and He has paid a price for us, a big price. So let's joy and rejoice in that. You know, let's joy and rejoice in it because it is so it's big. You know, our lives are really so blessed. You know, so let's joy and rejoice in that. All right. So Father, we're thankful for the marvelous things that you do for each of us. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for how awesome you really are, and we're grateful for it all being shown to us by your grace and your mercy. And that all we simply need to do is have faith. We trust you. We have confidence in you, Father. We believe your promises. And we see such great signs and wonders following us. We're grateful for that. Grateful for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness to us. And for such a wonderful family that you've called us to. And that, Father, together we can see great signs and wonders. And we can do the works that your Son Jesus Christ did and greater, and never forget them. And speak of them constantly, and telling all people that we see that you are a powerful and almighty God who has fathered each of us. Thankful for these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret, please.
Chandeleste kiende beriashta sastoto kolotere shende parasinde hitekete kalate shastriandrioto shastramondo. Behold, my people, the great and mighty things that I shall do for you in your lives as you walk out boldly. Know that I am a powerful and a mighty God, yet I am tender towards you, and I hold you closely to my bosom. Know that as you walk out in this world, I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I have made you more than conquerors in every situation. So have no doubt, my people, but look to me steadfastly and look to me knowing of my everlasting love for you.
Someone else speak in tongues and interpret.
Oko sontros puendri hisi I kaya sho oyo sontros puendra ha andru qui I kiela te. E vi mi I sho sontro o poia andre eshe se e kia han oya lo o sontros puanti ki I asha santo. I do love you, each and every one of you. So listen unto me, my children. Hearken unto me at all times, for I am that still small voice inside your heart, beckoning unto you to come unto me, to seek me, to love me, to know that I am there for you, to know that I am walking with you, to know that I am real, to know that I am the creator of the heavens and the earth and all things, and I do desire to give you your heart's desires. Yea, I do desire to answer your prayers. So lift your heads, be bold, be confident. Know me this day, my children. For I am the Lord your God, speaking unto you at this very time, for truly I have called you out. I have given you a name. I have seated you at my own right hand with my Son, Jesus Christ. There is nothing I would not do for you. Therefore, don't be afraid. Just know that you are powerful, for I have empowered you. Just know that you are great, for I have made you great. For truly, I have seated you in the heavenlies and given you a name. So my children know that I am the Creator, and know that I am your Father, and know that there is nothing that I would withhold from you. So come to me and trust me and believe me, for I, your loving Heavenly Father, have given you many, many, many great and precious promises, not only now, but for all eternity.
Someone prophecy.
Know, my beloved people, that I am your Father, and I have a deep and burning love for you. I only desire to have you come to me and have me take care of you. Know that I am a loving God, and I am full of mercy and grace, and I am more than willing to take care of every detail in your lives, to provide from you, to make sure that you have a blessed path in front of you. So walk diligently, come to me in my word, study it. Know that I have given you this word so that you can know the truth, so that you can see how your life can be, and so that you can have a rule book that you can follow and trust in. The path in front of you I have set there for you. Know that it is a sure path and that you shall not slip on it. So turn not to the left nor to the right, but stay steadfast on my way, and I will take care of you.
And someone else, prophecy.
Be encouraged in your hearts, knowing that I love you, that I'll never fail you in any situation, but you can always crawl up into my lap, and I am always there to hold you up. Yea, I am always there for you in every situation. I see your needs before you do, and I take care of them before you even ask. Fear absolutely nothing, but know who I am, that I have placed my spirit within you, and I have made you my very own, and I cherish you. You fear absolutely nothing as you come to me with every care on your heart, guilt-free, knowing that I love you and I see you righteous, that I've made you my beloved, that you are my children, and I will take care of my own.
And someone have a prayer of thanksgiving, please.
Father, thank you again in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for you. And Father, thank you so much for that Holy Spirit that we have, the power that we're able to manifest, God. And we just thank you so much that you are always there for us, that you always bear your arm for us, that we can always seek you, and we know that you're there, Father, that you never hide your face from us. And Father, we just thank you for all of the things that you've laid out for us, the glory and the riches, the things that we have now and the things that are to come. Father, we thank you for just a great afternoon of fellowship together as family, as brothers and sisters. Father, we just thank you and we glorify you and magnify your name in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.